Now, one of the things that I've learned over the years in the ministry, and that extends more than 40 years, is that people get all excited about technical points, technical information, and little details of various meanings of words. And boy, when they've solved that problem, they're just elated. They feel they've really accomplished something. But I can tell you something. I'll tell you what's hard to accomplish, and that is living up to the simple truths and things we really know and understand. That's where the real task comes in. So today I'm going to talk to you about the test commandment, which I will label as the continual test commandment, because it is a commandment that requires not only that we take some very, very dramatic steps physically in how we conduct ourselves, our change of lifestyle, the things we do, maybe in some cases our job, and then where the real task comes in is living up to it spiritually and keeping it in the intent and spirit of the mind that God has in mind. Is it quite possible to fall down in that second aspect? Absolutely. That's what's been happening for some period of time, frankly. What have our minds been on when we talk about the Sabbath? Are they on physical duties, cares, burdens, interests, jobs, pleasures? So that we're neglecting the two most important things the Sabbath was set up for, and that is Bible study and prayer, extra Bible study and prayer, which most of us do not have the opportunity to spend doing during the week as we probably could or should. You come in the evening and you're tired, you've had a hard day of work. It's very difficult to spend time in prayer for many, many people, and I understand that perfectly well. So, actually, I think what is occurring, and this is what we need to be aware of, it's very easy to neglect our most basic belief, and that is the Sabbath. Now, I don't believe there's anyone here, or even any, at least the vast majority of you people who are hearing these tapes, who are going to disagree that we ought to keep Saturday as the seventh day of the week, and that's the Sabbath God set aside of creation. Nobody's going to argue with that point. The question is, however, are we treating it with contempt in how we conduct ourselves and how we think? That's where the real issue comes in. Now, there's a lot we're up against in this world. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse number 12. Because lawlessness will increase or will abound, the love of many will wax cold. Now, that can be understood in more ways than one, but I would like to apply it in this sense, since John said, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. That being the case, then real, heartfelt, sincere, driving desire in a mind and heart to obey God is very, very difficult to keep. There's not a day that I don't look at the TV set and watch the news and things going on that I don't get mad. It's so disgusting, the things that people say and how they think. And that's this world. There's all kinds of odds against us. Galatians 6, verse number 9. Galatians 6 and verse number 9. Here's what Paul said, and this is another important principle to keep in mind. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. Now just think back when you first learned the truth about the Sabbath day. How zealous were you in it? And what price were you willing to pay to give up what was God required of you to be able to follow his commandments and his laws? And how on fire were you for the truth? How do you feel today? Weary in well-doing? That's a warning that we're given here. Now, we all keep the Sabbath. We understand that. What's our attitude toward others, then? And what's our attitude with respect to our own conduct? Notice what Paul said here. Romans 1, chapter 2, and verse number 1. Therefore, you are inexcusable, old man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. We have millions and millions of people in this world today who have no knowledge of the Sabbath day, They have never been called to a knowledge of the truth. It's very easy to look down on them and yet at the same time not live up to it in our own personal lives and fall miserably short in what God expects us to do on the Sabbath and what it's intended for. In fact, go back here and notice what the prophet Ezekiel said with respect to the Sabbath in Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. Because if you look at ancient Israel, notice what he says here in Ezekiel 20 and verse number 13. He said, "Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live in them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths." That doesn't say they repudiated my Sabbaths and refused to keep the Sabbath. No, they were making a pretense of keeping them, but they were defiling it. Is it possible for us to do the same thing? You bet it is. You bet it is. You know, there's a text here in the book of Amos, and while it is dealing with people who are lustful, that is for business, making money, nevertheless, it's a principle I think can apply to anyone whose interests are not within the framework that God has established regarding the Sabbath, and this is what it says in Amos 8, verse number 5. "When will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat?" They can't wait fast enough for the Sabbath to come to an end so they can do their own thing. Now, if they're eagerly anticipating the Sabbath to come to an end so they can go out and do their same thing, the thing they want to do, what are they thinking about during the Sabbath day? What is their mind on during the Sabbath? Certainly not on God and the intent of what God established when he gave us the Sabbath. Two of the Ten Commandments are especially emphasized in Bible prophecy. These have to do with idolatry and Sabbath breaking. Why? Because they're designed to keep us in contact with God. And not realizing the importance of them, that's very easy to happen. We get weary in well-doing. We take the Sabbath for granted. It's old hat to us, so to speak. And we just begin to let down. And that very thing causes us to lose contact with God the way he intended. Notice Leviticus chapter 26, verse number 2. Leviticus 26, verse number 2. "You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary." So here God mentions specifically his Sabbaths. And then he goes on to say in verse 3 about his statutes and commandments and the blessings that they would receive by obeying. But skip down to verse 14. "But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments and you despise my statutes," what commandments is he talking about? Is the Sabbath included in that? Absolutely. Then he says, this is what's going to happen. And you have a whole list of the curses that befell those people because they took that Sabbath, they profaned it, they didn't appreciate it, they didn't use it as God intended it to be used, and they could hardly anticipate when it would be over. Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20. Once again, let's go back and just touch over this here because here's a good summary of it. I said there are two commandments that God held Israel accountable for. In fact, these are the very two they were taken into national captivity over. Not that they weren't violating the others, but these were two important ones because they lost contact with God as a result of it. And this went into all kinds of things that are wrong. So we read here in verse 10, Ezekiel 20, "I made them go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness and gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live in them." In other words, if he's truly observing them, then he'll be practicing them. "Moreover, I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them." And then we read here at the latter part of verse 13, "They greatly defile my Sabbath." And notice verse 16 at the end of it, "They profane my Sabbath, for their heart went after their idols." The two go hand in hand. And then notice verse 21, "They profane my Sabbaths." So this is emphasized quite strongly here in the Old Testament prophecies regarding how God viewed the observance of the weekly Sabbath. How important is it in God's eyes? Well, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, let's notice what we read in Jeremiah 17 and verse number 27. If you will not heed me to follow the Sabbath day, in this particular case, they were carrying their burdens and wanting to do their labor and their work, and they couldn't wait to get back to what they were doing. Such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Meaning, of course, no one would put that fire out because it would finally burn until it was all burned out. And that's exactly what happened, because you read here in Jeremiah, you know, I don't know how many times, here's Jeremiah, and finally we come to the time of Babylon, when they destroyed the nation of Israel, the Jews. And what do we read here in the Jeremiah 52, verse number 12? Jeremiah 52, verse 12. In the fifth month, on the tenth day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard who served the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem. That is, all the houses of the great he burned with fire. That's right. That's how serious God took this matter of the Sabbath. The question is, are we going to take it as seriously? Let me emphasize this. The Sabbath day is holy time. It's not to be used as we just see fit. Was never set aside for that purpose. Was set aside for man's benefit and man's good. So let's notice what we read here in Mark chapter 2, verse number 27. People will take this particular text here, of course, and they'll stretch it out to give themselves license to do all kinds of things, because it says here, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Man is not to serve the Sabbath, but by the same token, he's not to abuse it either. And it was given for a very specific purpose. It was given for man's well-being and for his benefit. Now, we go back to the very beginning here. Let's notice Genesis, the second chapter. Because here's when the Sabbath was originated. This is when it began. We don't have any information or any evidence whatsoever that there was any Sabbath to be observed prior to this time, because we don't know what happened in these various ages and aeons of times past before the earth was rebuilt. That is, before it was recreated here in the book of Genesis. There's plenty of evidence that there have been major catastrophes in times past. And if paleontologists are correct, they're concluding now that the whole, and they have all these periods all so-called figured out based on the theory of evolution, which in my view is just a bunch of poppycock, because they have the Triassic age and the Jurassic age and the Cretaceous age, and during that time period, certain ones of these dinosaurs supposedly lived, and they were blotted out in due time. And they don't really know the explanation why that whole creation came to an end. But they're concluding now, they found the evidence down off the coast of South Africa, South America, where a huge meteor 10 miles across hit the earth. And that destroyed every living thing on the earth. It didn't destroy it in one fell swoop, because it went out about 1,000 miles and killed everything within 1,000 miles. Then this winter, where there was no sun set in, and it was only a matter of time before everything perished. That may have just been one of these occasions in times past. We don't know. But we do know this, that when man was created on this earth, God gave him the Sabbath at that time. That's why we read here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. And the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. was given for man. When Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, this is what he was referring to. He was not referring to Sunday, the first day of the week, nor was he referring to Friday, the sixth day of the week. He was referring to the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday, and that same day has continued right on from the very time the Sabbath was originally given. That's the day God set aside for worship. And notice what he calls it. I read over this rather rapidly a few minutes ago deliberately because I wanted to come back to it right here and now, and notice what he says. Leviticus 19, verse number 30. You shall keep my Sabbaths. They're God's. They belong to him. Now, if they belong to him, does he have the right to determine how that time should be used? Absolutely. And he tells us how to use it. So he says, my Sabbaths. So notice specifically, they belong to him. And then when we come to the time of Israel, because I'll come back in a moment or two here to when God established the Sabbath with the nation of Israel, let us notice here what we read in Exodus 20 and verse number 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Two things are told here. Remember it. Now, if it's something that has to be remembered, then it means it was something that was already given, but they had lost sight of it. So he said, remember it. And when you consider the fact that the Israelites were down in the land of Egypt for about 215 years, they did lose sight of it. And that's why God gave it to them when they came out. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Notice what it says here. It doesn't say a seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. The seventh day. Not just any seventh day you may choose. It is the seventh day, which is Saturday, the seventh day of the week. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore God blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So it says, remember it. Now let's notice something very interesting here. In Exodus, the third chapter, I want to link this into the Sabbath because it makes good sense. In Exodus 3, verse number 5, we recall the incident where Moses saw the burning bush, but it didn't burn up. And out of curiosity, he went over to take a look, and of course it was God. As it says here in verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. So when Moses went over and turned aside, as we read in verse 4, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. And he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Now, what made it holy? God's presence. That's what made it holy. And he was told not to defile it, not to trample on it with his feet. Now, can you do the same thing with the Sabbath? Most assuredly. Notice Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 13. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, and that's not the best translation. Almost every other translation makes it a lot clearer than this. And the meaning is, if you turn away your foot from doing your pleasure on my day, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and so on. Notice what we say, notice what we read here. Your foot. Notice how Moffat translates this. Here's the Moffat translation. If you keep the Sabbath day, not having your own fun and business on that day, but enjoying the Sabbath, but speaking of it with delight as the Lord's holy day, and honoring the Lord in what you do, not following your own desires and pleasure, nor talking idly, then the Lord will be your delight, and I will see that you ride high and get your full share of blessings I promised to Jacob your father. The Lord has spoken. Now, what is that saying? That is saying that if you want the benefit of the Sabbath and you want the delights that God intends, then these are the things you need to do. But you cannot trample on it with your feet. You can't desecrate it and defile it. So that's what we're reading about. We must not be trampling on God's holy time and his Sabbath with our feet. And let's keep in mind, this is what he says about his people, those who are to be his true people. Deuteronomy 14 and verse number 2. You are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all peoples who are on the face of the earth. Is that also not spoken of as the New Testament Christians in the New Testament church, a peculiar people? A holy nation? Absolutely. Well, they must not then be defiling God's Sabbath day by trampling on it with their feet. That is doing their own thing. Now, there are some warnings here in the New Testament about the truth that God has given us, and this certainly includes the Sabbath. So notice what we read here in Hebrews, the second chapter. We find in the first chapter that the creation is spoken of in verse 10. You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will grow old like a garment, like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will never fail. That's why the Moffat translation always puts his name as the Eternal, that is the ever-living one. Now, we read about creation here. And then what do we read next? But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Now, that being the case then, him creating the universe and creating man and placing man on the earth for a very important purpose. And remember, the Sabbath is a very, very important revelation regarding the whole time scheme that God has set in motion. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. Have I seen people drift away? Oh, absolutely. You've probably seen people drift away too, because they did not take these things seriously enough. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So the Sabbath day is one of the requirements that God places upon all of us in order to keep us in contact with him. And if we get to the place where we just disregard the Sabbath as important, we just use it for our own purpose, we don't have enough respect and regard for it the way God wants us to, what's going to happen? Hebrews 12, verse number 25. Hebrews 12, verse number 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Now, we just read a few minutes ago, he's eternal. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So therefore, we need to realize the importance of the Sabbath day and our obligation in the sight of God to correctly observe it. Not just a matter of taking the day off physically, but understanding what it means to keep it in spirit and in truth. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 2. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge in the smallest matters? Do you not know we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Now, if we can't even judge the importance of the Sabbath and the need to keep it in spirit and in truth and to realize the real intention behind it, how are we going to be capable of judging anything else? That's the very fundamental basic truth that God revealed every one of us from the very beginning. Now, if most of you were like me, you did not jump up and shout for joy when you learned about the Sabbath. I fought it for 3 years before I was willing to surrender. So we have to realize it is a serious matter, and there's more to it than just the physical observance. Now, the Sabbath day was the test commandment for ancient Israel. It's a test commandment for us today. The test commandment, we all had the decision we all had to make when we came to the knowledge of the truth. Well, at whatever time we finally came to understand it. It was a test. It was a physical test of obedience. But that test goes on as long as we live, because we're being tested continually on whether we're keeping it the way God intends us to keep it, in spirit and in truth. Notice Exodus, the 16th chapter. Here you go back to the incident with ancient Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt and he was revealing the Sabbath to them. And you read here in verse number 4, the Lord said, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or no." That I may test them. That's right, it was a test commandment. "Shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Now that was, of course, on Friday. So as we read here in verse 22, "And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning.'" And then 26, "6 days shall you gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." Now, what happened? Now, it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. You know, some people just slow learners, they don't get it. You know, the simplest things, the truth of God, have to be just repeated over and over and reminded on a regular basis. Why do you think God has an annual holy day routine of all the holy days? Because people forget. And I can tell you, people forget the importance of keeping the Sabbath in its spiritual intent unless they're reminded and told. That's what I'm doing today. "So they went out and gathered it. And the Lord said to Moses, 'How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws?'" How long do you refuse? "See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Now you remember the incident later on where a man decided he was going to go out and gather sticks on the Sabbath. Remember that? And it cost him his life. So, you know, that's why it says, if they had to fear him that spoke on earth, how much more are we going to fear him that speaks from heaven? God gave us that Sabbath and expects us to obey it. Now, Exodus 31, it is the identifying sign. Exodus 31, verse number 12. "The Lord spake to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbath shall you keep. It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath. Therefore, it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. That was under the civil code of ancient Israel. The death that we're going to face, that rebellious people will face eventually, will be the lake of fire. They just died the physical death, but though that death will be for all eternity. So it is an identifying sign. It's a test commandment. It's an identifying sign for God's people. As we read in verse 17, it is the sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Are the children of Israel still on this earth today? You bet they are. Does that sign still apply? Absolutely. That's the identifying sign of God's true people. And the only reason the Jews were never lost from sight, like the 10 tribes were, is because they remained faithful to the Sabbath day. The 10 tribes lost knowledge of that Sabbath day at an early date and were lost from sight historically. Hebrews 4, verse number 9. If it is applicable for all times, let us notice what Paul said here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 9. There remains therefore, and you see the word rest, that is a very dishonest translation. Don't tell me that these translators didn't know better than that. It's from the Greek word sabbatismos, and it means a keeping of a Sabbath. And it should be translated, there remains therefore a keeping of the Sabbath for the people of God. This is Paul's teaching, New Testament church. So that certainly applies today, just like it did then. And notice very quickly here, here's how the church is, people of God are defined here. Let's notice Hebrews 3, verse number 6, first of all, before I get away from there. As Christ, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. In other words, we belong to Christ. We're a part of Christ's house. Whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. If I am delayed, I write that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is a church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The house of God is the church. So we are obligated very plainly to continue in those things that were revealed to the church or to the house of God. And then in the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5, you as living stones are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. So the church is a spiritual house, and it is an identifying sign for the people of God. Now, can we bask in confidence that we know which is the correct Sabbath day and we're, quote, keeping the day? Is that enough? Well, let's notice what we read here in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 11. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Here's a verse I want to emphasize. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Now, what if we're keeping the Sabbath physically, but we're not really keeping it in the intent and that God had in mind? We can't wait to go out and do our own thing. We long for some kind of a physical pleasure we wish we could do on the Sabbath. Our conversation is anything but really spiritually directed. We're not studying and we're not praying. We're staying in bed half the day and then finally getting up and staggering off to church. Is that keeping the Sabbath? Absolutely not. Colossians 1, verse number 23. Colossians 1, verse number 23. See, if he wants to present us, he said it's his intention to present us holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, if you continue in it. But it is a spiritual requirement that God, yes, indeed, it is a physical requirement. We refrain from physical work. But we also must realize the importance of keeping it in spirit and in truth. And keeping it in our mind and understanding the intent and purpose of it. Now here were these people that Jesus dealt with throughout his entire ministry. And they were, quote, religious people. And what did he say to them? Mark 7, verse number 6. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written. And this is quoted from the book of Isaiah. And the quote goes, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They make a physical pretense, but is their heart really with God and really have an intent and purpose in keeping the Sabbath as God intended? One thing you learn in the Bible at a very early date, and that is, if you want to really obey God and prove it, you have to live it. A fellow minister once said to me, if you don't live it, you don't believe it. And that certainly was a true statement. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 21. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. You test it by doing it, by living it. And then you see the consequences and the results of it. But if you never test it and you never practice it, how are you ever going to know? And when it comes to keeping the Sabbath spiritually, that's what's going to give one the kind of joy and happiness he really wants, the benefit that he wants to see that should be derived from the Sabbath. Stop and think for a moment. This scripture here, this particular text, has often been quoted, and it's certainly applied to the time period in which the writer Jude wrote it, but it is applicable for all time periods. And as you read here in verse number 3, Jude verse 3, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. I can tell you, the faith that was once delivered to the saints did not make all kinds of allowances for people to go out and do their own thing on the Sabbath and somehow delude themselves into thinking that they're pleasing God because, quote, they come to church. It didn't involve that. It involved a knowledge and an understanding of the necessity to keep it spiritually in the heart and mind and with the proper intention that God had in mind. I'm going to speak about that as a separate subject later. Now, all we have to do is look at the New Testament. Did Christ set an example in this? You all know this very well. Let me go back over here very quickly. I'll just select a few texts here. Yeah, this should be good enough for anybody, because what did he do on the Sabbath? Well, this is what he did. You read it here in Mark 6, verse number 2. When the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. That's where he went on this. He went to church. That was the form of meeting halls they had at that time. And then in the book of Luke, chapter 4, and verse number 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That's right. He didn't go off someplace. Wherever there was a place to meet, that's where he went. And of course, at that time period in Judea, There were synagogues all over the land. And whenever he was there, that's where he would go. And he stood up to read. And then, of course, we know from the rest of the account there what took place. Now, what about the apostles? People will say, well, and I've read this in the church histories, there are a number of notable church historians that have written whole sets of volumes on the New Testament church, and they have a basic fundamental error, practically all of them. And that is, the Apostle Paul came along to free the Christians from the Jewish yoke. And he took them away from the necessity to keep the Sabbath. And he freed them from all of these requirements of the law of God. There hasn't been any more nonsense in your whole life than that argument and that falsehood. Paul did anything but that. And the problem is, as I've pointed out before, they read the Bible and they try to interpret Paul's writings. They try to interpret the rest of the Bible, the very clear-cut scriptures that show the necessity what to do by Paul's writings. They don't understand what Paul said, so they knock in the head everything else. And they're going at it exactly the reverse. What they ought to do is read the clear-cut scriptures and then interpret Paul's writings in the light of those scriptures. Why do I say that? Because the Bible does not contradict. The scripture cannot be broken. And if it cannot be broken, then they're misinterpreting what Paul said, because I can tell you, you can read every other place in the Bible, and it's perfectly clear what it means about observing God's commandments and God's law. Now, did Paul, quote, free the Christians from the Jewish yoke? Well, read it here. Acts chapter 13, verse number 42. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, where had Paul gone? He went into the synagogue where he was. In this particular case, he was up in Antioch, in Pisidia. There's two Antiochs. There was Antioch in Syria, and that was really became the headquarters of the New Testament church after the time of Christ, and that is after the Christians were driven out of Palestine. That became the center for the whole Christian movement. But there was an Antioch in Pisidia, which we would know today as Turkey. And Paul was there. And when the Jews went out of the synagogue, so here Paul had been preaching. Notice it here in verse number 14. When they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And then Paul began to speak. And he gave this whole account we have here up to this point in this same chapter. Then in verse 42, when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So here were all kinds of Gentile proselytes who were keeping the Sabbath. And then what do we read in verse 44? On the next Sabbath, almost a whole city came together to hear the word of God. That's the Sabbath Paul kept. Notice Acts 17, verse number 2. Beginning in verse 1, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. This was their meeting hall. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures. Now they have the idea that Paul, after he got all these Gentiles to break away and he followed them, then they went out someplace and started keeping Sunday. What utter nonsense and stupidity. Paul was a Sabbath keeper just like Christ was. And then let me just emphasize as I bring this to a close what we read here in the book of Isaiah, the 66th chapter. This Sabbath is so important that we read here in Isaiah 66, verse number 23, it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh, the whole world, shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. In other words, from month to month and week to week, they will all be keeping God's Sabbath. That's how important it is. So as I said, When we're talking about the Sabbath day, which is the test commandment, it is a continual test commandment because it continually tests us as long as we live, whether we keep the day physically or whether we keep it physically and spiritually. We're being put to the test because we're being put to the test on the matter not only of keeping the day, but keeping it properly in the spirit and in the mind and the intention God had when he gave it to man in the first place.